Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John. What? Wait. Usually, this is where Judo Larry M. would jump in and say, "And Judo Larry M." But he's not here this week. The studio is empty, Phil. Phil is nodding. Yes, it's just me, your pal, Big Fat John, going at it solo this week for The Riot. And contrary to rumors circulating on Twitter and other spaces on the internet, Judo Larry M. has not been fired by the corporate interests. He's still with us. He just decided to take this week off. He's got some business to attend to, plus some well-deserved vacation time. So rather than leave you guys in the lurch, I decided to go ahead and just do a show on my own. Now, it's been a while since I've done a solo show, so I don't know exactly how I'm going to proceed with this. I think I may just reduce myself to commenting on things that annoyed me during the past week, which, you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, and my guess is you have, you'd understand that there's a lot of things that annoy me during the week, and there's a lot of issues I want to touch on. Maybe we'll break our rule of doing our broadcasts completely live. Maybe we'll go into post. And if Phil figures out some funny sound effects to supplement my dulcet tones, then maybe Phil can do that. But for right now, let's just get to what's bothering me. The first thing is, here in New York, this week, there was a really, to me, outrageous situation which occurred. And that was in Staten Island, New York. There was a man described as a 400-pound asthmatic. His name was, let me just make sure I get this correctly, his name was Eric Garner. He was 43 years old. Now, this guy, an African-American gentleman, let's throw that out there. Now, this guy was known in the neighborhood. He had been arrested a couple of times for selling illegal cigarettes. So he was the type of guy, you know, you'd go to him, you get a pack of cigarettes or a couple of Lucy's, below cost, he's selling them illegally, he's been arrested a couple of times. Well, something occurred on, I think it was the 17th, so that would be either Thursday or Wednesday night. This gentleman was approached by NYPD officers. There was a scuffle of sorts. And by the way, this was recorded by bystanders. He was essentially killed by the cops on the spot. They basically tried to arrest him. From what I could tell on the video, he really didn't resist all that much. He really didn't pose a threat to anyone. But they used a chokehold to subdue him and maybe roughed him up a little bit on his way down to the ground. But basically, this poor man was saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." Again, he was described as an asthmatic, and one of five officers took him down and used a chokehold to do it. He ended up dying en route to the hospital. I think he was DOA when he reached the hospital. Now, if you listen to the show, you typically know that I'm a big supporter of law enforcement. While I'm not a fan of the police state, I do believe that we have laws to prevent aggressions against one another. We have laws to enforce contracts. We have laws to enforce general respect among citizens. So I tend to give cops a lot of leeway, especially in metropolitan areas like New York, like Chicago, like LA. But having watched this video, and again, this is the video that I saw. If there was something else to this incident that happened beforehand, I'm unaware of it. But based on what I saw, this is outrageous and really the cop specifically who had placed this man in a chokehold needs to be put on trial for something. I mean, I don't know if it's murder that he needs to be charged with, but or manslaughter. I leave that to those of those listeners that might be lawyers or prosecutors. But it just seems to me like it was excessive. It seems to me as if there was no reason to try to arrest this man in this manner. And for those of us on the libertarian side who tend to view government actions with suspicion, government actions of acts of aggression, rather, as onerous, you know, something like this shatters your belief or your trust, rather, in the police authorities. And you have to, you know, this to me, I don't know if this is necessarily a racist issue because all five cops were white. The gentleman who was killed, as I mentioned earlier, was African-American. And I know a lot of people might jump to the conclusion that it was a racist action. I don't know. I don't know what was in the head of those cops. I didn't hear any slurs. I didn't hear or see any intent that he was targeted because he was specifically a black man. Again, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened a few minutes earlier or an hour earlier. I don't know. But the very action of arresting him in the manner they did seemed excessive to me. It also seemed excessive to me from what, again, from my own witnessing of these videos, that he needed to be arrested at all. And when you stop and think that this man apparently was, had his eye, the cops may have had their eye on him because he was a known peddler of illegal cigarettes, for him to end up dead because of that, you have to question what's happening in society. You can't just assume that he was a criminal, and you can't assume that he deserved what he got. As I said before, I give a lot of leeway in my opinions for cops. I understand that what they do is dangerous. I understand that they have to make life or death decisions in some cases in a split second. I understand that. And you might be able to argue that that's the price of having a police force in a city like New York City with 8 million people. You're going to have misunderstandings. I don't mean to sound trite about it, because it's not. But what you have to keep in mind is that you always have to err on the side of caution. And in this case, he was unarmed. There was no gun. There was no knife. There was no shiny object in his hands. There wasn't anything that would indicate that he had a weapon of any sort in his pockets or on his person. Just a large man who we later find out is asthmatic and literally choked to death, from what we could tell on these videos. It is a horrible, horrible statement on how the police engage people. And again, I am not willing, I'm not one of those that's going to be, the first thing I jump to is it was racially motivated. I can't say that. It may turn out that it was. I don't know. I'll leave that for the investigators. But I would agree with the people who are calling for justice, who are calling for this cop and cops, I guess, to stand trial, to be kicked off the force. And I agree with that 100%. I think that unless some other evidence comes up to the contrary, there was absolutely, this was uncalled for. It didn't have to end up this way. And that's why, you know, we got to be vigilant. You can't just assume yet that your government is looking out for you. You can't assume, you can't believe in the existence of a hyper-competent government or municipality. The power of these decisions, of these actions, has to remain with the people. And in this case, again, I think it's a needless waste of human life for a man that big. It could, and if you think about it, it could have been anybody. It could have been an autistic kid who doesn't know how to communicate. It could have been a deaf man who may not have heard the warnings of these cops. It may have been any number of situations where a person who is not a threat. See, I would even allow for leeway if the man was physically attacking them, with or without a weapon. Like, he wasn't throwing punches. He wasn't pushing. He wasn't. He's a 400-pound man. He wasn't running away from anybody. He was just sitting outside a commercial shop. So this is very distressing to me. And I can certainly understand if members of the black community would be outraged at this and assume it might be racial. I'm not willing to go there, but I can understand if someone does draw that conclusion. It certainly appears that way. You know, five white cops, as I said, go to arrest a heavyset black man who isn't threatening them, and they end up killing him. He ends up, rather, I should say, dying in their custody. So, you know, I don't want to say too much more on this. I think it's obvious. I shouldn't say that. It's obvious what my feelings are about this. So let's move on. What else is bothering me this week? Oh, one of the things that bothers me, and I got to admit, understanding that it's fully politically motivated, understanding that politicians generally tend to be scumbags, I'm trying to understand how Democrats are all of a sudden spinning the Hobby Lobby case, the Supreme Court decision, which allowed Hobby Lobby the right to opt out of providing four specific birth control methodologies that are outlined in Obamacare to their employees. Now, just to remind you, my position, I agreed with the decision, but I'm not even willing to say that it should be only for religious reasons. My position is birth control is not a right. Birth control is a desire. Birth control is a need for some people, but it's not a right. It's not a civil right for you to be provided birth control, okay? And that's what this is. You know, nowhere in this Supreme Court ruling were those four specific forms of birth control outlawed. No woman is legally prevented from acquiring those types of birth control if they so desire. What the ruling said is that a private, closely held company can, in fact, say, we object to this particular form of birth control now, and that they don't have to pay for it. Now, it was framed as a religious issue, a freedom of religion issue, but it really isn't, in my opinion. And what I'm hoping happens with further decisions down the road is that we come to the basic understanding that you're perfectly free, whether you're a man or a woman, to go out and get any birth control method you want, to have sex, to not have sex, to have deviant sex, to have normal sex, as long as everyone's consenting in the process, then go ahead and do whatever you want. This whole movement, especially by dopey liberal twats, that has now become the not my boss's business, not my hashtag not my boss's business, hashtag, you know, stay off of my body, keep your laws off my body, whatever the hell these twats come up with. Let me just explain this. And by twats, it's not just women. I'm also talking about people like Harry Reid, for example, Senator Harry Dopey Reid. Here's the thing. When did it become that, A, it's your right for birth control? It's not your right to have birth control provided to you free of charge. And it's certainly not your right to expect that of a private employer. Hey, the guy doesn't have the benefits package that you want, you're free to go get another job. Go get another job. Find the job that best suits your needs. That's the other thing. A lot of these people are too young to remember back in the day when health insurance wasn't automatically provided to you by every employer. We got to an 85% largely free market solution when it came to healthcare because employers learned that they got better quality employees, more loyal employees, and to some extent locked in employees if they were offered benefits such as healthcare, later down the road, telecommuting, flex days, whatever you want. These were responses by employers to be able to attract and retain more or higher quality employees. what is so hard for people to understand about that? Now, I understand that right now we have an entitled generation that for some reason wants to have on-demand sex, and they want to have it, in essence, for free. They can't afford the $9 to $20 a month expense for this birth control. And I'm sorry if I'm flipping, but I don't think that a $9 to $20 monthly expense is so onerous that we need to destroy the Constitution so you can have free birth control, Sandra Fluke, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Hillary Clinton, and any other dopey liberal twat that assumes that there's a Bill of Rights that says you deserve and you are entitled to free health care. Go fuck yourselves. That is not the case. So Valerie Jarrett, when you put out a tweet that says, not my boss's business, you're absolutely right. It's not your boss's business what goes in and out of your vagina. And as a matter of fact, it's not your boss's responsibility to pay to make sure that no sperm comes anywhere near your dusty old eggs. Okay? You want to have sex, you don't want to get pregnant, it's your responsibility. And please, ladies, don't bring up the false equivalency that, well, Viagra is covered, why shouldn't birth control be covered? Because Viagra is not a form of birth control. Viagra is a recognized medical condition. The equivalency would be that men would be demanding free condoms, for example, free Trojans from their employers. Now, if an employer wishes to cover contraceptives for men or for women, great, I have no problem with that. But if an employer says, I don't feel like paying, I don't feel like driving up premiums and my costs because you're asking for free birth control, fuck it. Or free anything else for that matter. See, this is what liberals always fail to understand. And big statists. If your ideas are so good, why do you feel that you need the force of law? Why do you feel you need government coercion to make people appreciate them? You know what I mean? Why are your ideas always required to go through government heavy-handedness? If it's that good an idea that you're coming up with, why aren't the people accepting it, and why isn't it self-evident to them that they're good ideas? They're not. What they are simply ways to shift accountability and responsibility from the individual to the collective. You got that? Basically, what you're saying is, hey, it's not my boss's business about my vagina, but you know what? It is my boss's wallet that I want. So you know what? Don't tell me what to do with my pussy. Don't tell me who to blow, who to fuck. But well, you know what you will do? You will leave your wallet on the nightstand on the way out. And by the way, you're not even getting a reach around, boss. You're not getting the rusty trombone. Basically, what you're getting, boss, is screwed. And not in the delicious sexual way that apparently these leftist women all want. The bosses are getting screwed because they're being forced to pay for something that really they have no business being involved in. See, this is where I agree with the women. This is where I agree with the leftists and the liberals. It is not your boss's business what happens in your sex life. It is not your boss's business to tell you how to perform in your private life or what to perform in your private life. I agree with you 100%. But where does the leap come that it's their responsibility to fund what you do in your private life? I don't understand where a boss saying, I'm not paying for free birth control, I'm not paying for Plan B or whatever the hell, you know, is involved here. How does that mean you're being denied access to the drugs? How does that mean you're being denied to your birth control? I don't get it. By your logic, my boss is denying me a summer home in the Hamptons because he refuses to pay for it. My boss is denying me a Jaguar, is denying me the new Mercedes E-Class. That is the same logic that you're trying to apply. Oh no, it's for healthcare. Let me throw something else at you. Birth control, except in maybe 1 to 2% of total cases, is not healthcare. It is a convenience. It is, again, a way of shifting accountability. All right? Women, you don't want to get pregnant? Go get birth control. You can't afford it? Have the guy you're fucking go get a condom. Basically, that's what it comes down to. All right? And I'm not forgetting about homosexuals because they don't have to worry about birth control per se in this situation. So again, I don't understand why someone like Valerie Jarrett, like someone like Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Sandra Fluke, she's still flapping her gums about something, feel that if Hobby Lobby isn't paying for your birth control, you're somehow being denied access to birth control. Go get a job with the government. They seem to hire anybody. They'll provide your birth control. Or better yet, why don't you be a big girl and go out and earn $9 to $20 a month to pay for your birth control if that's what you want? I'm not telling you how to run your body. I'm not telling you how to run your vaginas. Go do it yourself. It's just amazing to me that women have this false equivalency. It is absolutely nuts. Right now, Hobby Lobby was based on a religious clause, a religious exemption. Fine. But I'm telling you, the next step should be that government has absolutely no say in telling a private employer how and what to provide as a benefit to their employees. Now, it'd be different if there was some collusion going on, like if every employer got together and agreed not to, for example, provide birth control or health care or anything else. That's a different story. Now you're talking, you know, almost levels of antitrust, but I don't know that that's happened. I don't know that anybody's accusing anybody of that happening. Everybody is very generous with other people's money. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody is generous with other people's time. Nobody seems to be generous with their money. Okay? And you can bitch all you want about the 1%. The truth of the matter is the 1% is funding 70% of government programs. Look it up. All right? So, yeah, they have the money. Yeah, they earn a lot. Yeah, they have really good lives. But guess what? By and large, they're funding the largest percentage of the government budget, of the federal budget. Okay? So stop your whining. You know, be accountable to yourselves, for God's sake. Have some pride. Have some anything that would allow you to say, hey, I'm not going to bitch and whine and expect Washington, D.C. to take care of my problems. I'm going to go out and solve them myself. I'm going to see if I could figure out a way that I can have my birth control and suck it too. You like the way I try to turn that around? Have your cake and eat it too? I don't know if that worked or not. If Judah O'Leary was here, he'd probably tell me that wasn't very funny. I don't know. But that's my point on this issue. Women, just shut the fuck up. This is why nobody likes whiny liberals, okay? It's like everything has become right. Everything is a right. Listen, your rights, I said it before, I'll say it again, your rights. Go look at that piece of parchment in Washington at the National Archives. It's called the Constitution. Go read the Constitution. Go read the Bill of Rights, the 10 amendments that constitute the Bill of Rights. Those are your rights. That is what you are entitled to in the United States. Free speech. To bear arms. To avoid unnecessary search and seizure. Against cruel and unusual punishment, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, as we said before. These are your rights. Nowhere in there is it, you know, you can get free birth control. Nowhere in there is it that you deserve a car, a home. You are inherently entitled to be happy and free of worry in life. That's bullshit. This concept that we are entitled to happiness is a uniquely recent belief. For thousands of years, humans have understood that they had to suffer to get by. I'm not saying it's a prerequisite, but the expectation that you can get everything you want in life, be happy chasing it, by the way, never stumble, never be offended, never have to run into an obstacle that you needed to overcome, is an utterly recent and ridiculous, by the way, position and belief to hold. All right, now, if for whatever reason, you go through life, you do work for everything you you want, you achieve it, and you happen to be content and happy, God bless you. I'm not saying you have to suffer, but it is the exception, not the rule. So, seriously, there is no reason for these women to be hashtagging not my boss's business, unless it's followed by not my boss's money. The two have to be connected. You can't unhook one from the other. All right? Okay. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is, again, I've noticed this whole issue about freedom of expression. Notice I'm not saying freedom of speech, because freedom of speech, the First Amendment, is something that applies to government and to government agencies, okay? So unless there's a story about the government clamping down on free speech, for example, like the FCC, I still don't understand how the FCC as an organization, as a government organization, is constitutional. I think they only exist in large part to censor speech, okay? Now, their original thing was to monitor the technical issues of band usage, you know, the technical aspects of broadcasting, okay? And that's what they were regulating. But this regulation of speech and content by the FCC is hilarious. That is a free speech issue. That can be categorized, in my opinion, as a free speech issue because you have government clamping down on words. They're censoring people. They're censoring organizations. So I'm distinguishing that type of situation from what I'm calling freedom of expression, which to me is a societal issue. Why are we all becoming Big Brother where we're so eager to rat out our fellow citizens? I just don't understand why we're in such a rush. Okay? Now, I've seen a lot of liberals, when you combine this desire to monitor and shape speech and thought, and then you combine it with something like the immigration crisis at the border, at our southern borders. For example, I've seen debate on and accusations for people who use the term illegal aliens or illegal immigrants. They get chastised for saying illegal immigrants. I actually saw Sally Cohn from CNN, I think, say the I word. The I fucking word. This is now reaching even more ridiculous depths than it was even 6 months ago. Of course, we all know there's the N word, the R word, the B word, the C word. There's a couple of R words, I think. There's a couple of C words, I think. B words, we know there's a couple, okay? What I'm trying to get at is, why is everything blank dash word? Why is someone so eager to always control what we're saying? This goes back to not wanting to be upset in your life. Fuck you. I choose to use the term illegal aliens because that was always applied to immigrants who were trying to enter the country or had entered the country outside of the legal process. Okay? And by saying illegal alien does not mean I am anti-immigrant. I am the son, first generation of here in America of immigrants, okay? My parents were immigrants to this country. Note, however, that they were legal immigrants. And that's what we're saying here. We can't afford, literally, to have these illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, enter the country. Why don't we address that first, as opposed to whether or not I am some sort of racist for saying illegal alien, for not saying undocumented workers or undocumented immigrants. Okay? Why is that the main issue? The main issue is, how do we, A, cut, you know, plug the dam of illegal aliens, of these non-United States citizens flooding the country? By the way, a lot now coming children, okay? Parents from South America, Central America, are just sending their kids unaccompanied to the U.S. border, hoping that that we'll just take them in. Okay? Why aren't we addressing that issue? How do we shore up our borders? That's issue number one when it comes to the immigration thing. Second thing is, what do we do about the roughly 12 million illegal aliens that are currently in the United States. Okay? That's what we should be focusing on. And by the way, I'm not a shill for the Republican Party. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of their approach when it comes to immigration. It's going to come back to bite them and us as a nation in the ass very quickly if it hasn't done so already. Okay? But the position should be, yes, this is still a nation of opportunity. This is still a beacon for liberty for the rest of the world. No matter what you as an American citizen think of this country. Okay, you as I may think that it's overly regulated. I may think the government has become too heavy-handed and too much in our lives. You may think that the government isn't enough in our lives, that it's not providing healthcare, it's not providing a job, it's not providing school, whatever the fuck you want to say. But that's us as American citizens. We're already reaping the rewards of a nation, okay? It's still a beacon to everybody else in this friggin' world. Every citizen of every third world shithole dreams of coming to the United States. Note, we don't need to build a wall to keep our citizens from leaving. We should build a wall to keep others from entering, okay? Keep them from entering illegally. And for those of you that say, hey, are you using a metaphor? Build a wall? No, I'm not. Build a goddamn wall along the southern border. Build a fence. Make it very high. Where you can't build a fence, that's where you put a couple of border patrol agents. Okay? That's what you got to do. And if you think, wow, he's a fence? What, is he nuts? No, I'm not nuts. Israel does it. A lot of other nations do that, where they have shared borders. Pakistan and India, I think. Okay? And you know what fences and walls do? They cut down the number of people that illegally enter your country. It's not the Berlin Wall. Before I hear any of you nuts, it's not the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall was built by East Germans to keep their citizens from escaping to a free nation, to West Germany. Okay? Totally different situation. We're not trying. There's no line of people waiting to get out of the U.S. There are plenty of lines of people waiting to get into the U.S. Okay? So step one, secure our borders, for God's sake. Okay? Then once we have that, you know, maybe if you want to have an amnesty program, you have a program where the 12 million rather illegal aliens in this country have some sort of path to citizenship. That includes making sure they're up to date on all their taxes, making sure that there's some sort of list, making sure that records are checked, criminal records are checked, that, you know, that if you're a security threat to the nation, whatever, you get deported. Like, once we have that in place, then we can start considering who to allow legally in this country once we're secure. Okay? Right now, we have to secure our southern borders. Eventually, once we secure the southern borders, I'm pretty sure we'll have a bunch of illegal aliens who go through Canada to come through our northern borders. We have to address that as well. And listen, before someone says, look, all these kids, roughly 60,000 unaccompanied children, are expected to hit the borders in total, that it's a humanitarian crisis. Let me ask you this. When did it become the responsibility of the United States to take care of everybody else in the world? Why aren't you liberals screaming that these kids, by the way, on their way up to the United States, they go through a couple of other nations, right? Why aren't you saying to Mexico, hey, Mexico, why do you just let these unaccompanied children reach the United States borders? Why don't you take them in? Okay, why don't you do that, Mexico? Why is the onus on the United States to take care of these kids? And you know what? You may think I'm being cruel. You may think I have no heart or whatever the fuck you want to believe. That's fine. I don't give a shit. Okay? But once you have these unaccompanied children in the United States, what happens to them? Do they get sent back? Well, if they get sent back, why are we just putting them in the process? See, I don't believe that once they're in the U.S., once they're processed and in the U.S., they're not going back. As a matter of fact, I would bet, especially given this president's ideology, I'm willing to bet that those kids are going to stay in the country, they're going to be in the system, and I'm making air quotes, and more than likely, if their parents petition to come stay with them, that they will be allowed. And now you've got an even bigger problem brewing. Oh, and by the way, it's not lost on me or anybody else that all these illegal aliens, you know, clamoring to get in the country are going to vote Democratic, right? As far as I know, the only immigrant bloc that came to this country that ever voted anything other than Democratic were the Cubans in the 60s. Okay? When they hit the Florida shores, they were born Republicans. They were born conservatives, okay? I can't think of another immigrant group that I can describe that way, okay? And again, maybe for whatever reason, I don't know. Maybe it's just because they think that Democrats are looking out for them. They think that Democrats are the party of the poor, which is horseshit, by the way. But you cannot address this immigrant issue unless you address security and path to citizenship for the existing 12 million immigrants. Okay, illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. And to further my how I started on this rant, which was, stop trying to tell me not to call them illegal aliens. That's not the issue here. Okay? I am not one of those people that's going to be intimidated. Every time I see the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, Huffington Post, anytime on Twitter I see these I see them tweet something about undocumented workers or undocumented citizens rather. I always tweet back at them saying you misspelled illegal alien. Okay? It's not because I think it's funny. I think it's because the only way to stop this word policing, the only way to stop the thought police is to rail against it, is to refuse to use the terminology of the Borg, is to refuse to use the terminology of the left. I will not say undocumented citizen. Fuck you. Illegal aliens. If you catch me in a good mood, I'll say an illegal immigrant. Okay, but the first and foremost adjective there has to be illegal, not undocumented. Okay, they are illegal citizens. They are illegal aliens. Okay, that's it. The only way to stop this fucking fake outrage and the fucking language police is to never give in to their bullshit, is to never agree with them. At every turn, engage them. Make sure that if you're on Twitter or Facebook or anything, you know, like for me, I'm lucky. I do this show. I don't have to answer to anybody. Okay? I understand that not everybody has that freedom. But whenever you can, you stand up to it. You refuse to accept it. Okay? Don't, you know, say bossy to girls. That's okay. You can call a girl bossy. You're not ruining her life. You're not traumatizing her for the next 30 years. Don't let this bullshit thought police trick you or shame you into not expressing yourself. And if you're an asshole, you're an asshole. If you're like me, you get called an asshole 20 times a day. That's okay. Have the intestinal fortitude to withstand being called an asshole. You know, we talked about, we said what happened to Anthony Cumia when he got fired from Sirius because of his Twitter rant against a woman who attacked him in the streets, okay? And again, without getting deep into whether or not he was justified or not, the one thing you have to admire about him is that he has refused to apologize. He has refused to give in to the thought police. He has refused to give in to the purveyors of fake outrage. And look, it's not just people on the conservative side, the libertarian side, the right wing that I stand up for. I think Bill Maher is an asshole. I don't think he's funny. I don't agree with his political positions 99.5% of the time. You know what I'm saying? I don't like him. I can't stand to watch more than 30 seconds of that stupid HBO show of his. What is it, Real Time or whatever? To call him a stand-up comedian is, in my opinion, to not be telling the truth, to be honest with you. Do you get it? I hate fucking Bill Maher. But when he made that joke about Hamas being like a crazy woman, and all of a sudden, all these people came out of the woodwork to demand an apology, to accuse him of being sexist and of perpetuating a rape culture and a male dominated culture where women are forced to be subservient. Shut the fuck up. He tried to make a joke. He compared Hamas to a crazy woman who's trying to scratch your eyes out. And basically he said there's only so long you could hold her wrists before you have to slap her. Okay? What reasonable person would think that that was meant to be a serious comment or in any way condoned violence against women or domestic violence or whatever the fuck these women came up with? Oh, and by women, I'm talking about males who just jump in on any feminist cause, by the way. To me, they're women too. Go fuck yourselves. You're not getting laid by agreeing with these dopey positions, by agreeing with these dopey feminists, okay? That's not going to happen. They view you as the enemy. If you have a penis, they don't like you, all right? So when it comes to me saying and defending people's right to expression, again, it's not a freedom of speech issue. Don't assume that that's what I'm saying in this case. What I'm saying is someone like Bill Maher is not, you know, this guy is a paragon of leftist ideology, okay? He's a paragon of statism, of whatever, feminist beliefs and ideals, okay? For him, as someone, as a commentator and as a comedian, to make a joke like that and all of a sudden everyone's jumping on his throat, I don't know if he apologized. I really hope he didn't. I really hope that he was as arrogant with those thought police bitches and assholes as he is again with any right-wing guest that he has on his show, okay? Just be unrepentant about that shit. We can't give in to this fake outrage. Just stop it already. Stop living your life looking for a reason to be outraged. Stop living your life looking for the next person that you're going to rat out to your little Twitter buddies, to your little advocacy groups. Shut the fuck up. Why don't you try to make the world a better place? Why don't you, become an entrepreneur? Try to invent the next great invention that makes people's lives easier. I mean, not to sound trite, why don't you go figure out how to cure cancer or something? Isn't that a better use of your time? Okay? Isn't that better than you just waiting on Twitter 24 hours a day? Oh, shit. What did this comedian say? Did he say anything that I could possibly interpret by the most remote possibility that they may have said something that would offend someone? Look, Jason Biggs, the actor, made some jokes about the Malaysia, the airplane that was shot down over the Ukraine. And look, I read the jokes. I didn't think they were, I didn't laugh, all right? I didn't care for them. Okay, you don't like what Jason Biggs had to say? Don't follow him on Twitter. Unfollow him. Okay? Nobody is forcing you to follow people that you disagree with. Listen, there's certain people I don't follow on Twitter. I try following them for a while, then I see what they have to say, and it's not even a matter of whether they're right or wrong. They annoy me, so I stop following them. I just don't deal with them. Some people I deal with on Twitter simply because I feel like annoying them. And you know what? That's great. They call me an asshole, I call them an asshole. All's good in the world. But not once have I reported, and we get a lot of people on Twitter that, you know, reply to us. They say, you know, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I was trolling and going back and forth with a couple of folks from the transgender community. First of all, you know, it was when I called them trannies, you know, and they took offense to that, you know. And then all of a sudden, three or four of them would start tweeting me cock pics and, you know, really horrible-looking stuff happening to male genitalia, you know. And you know what? I laughed. First of all, I found it hilarious. Secondly, I would just reply to them, you know, and try to go back and forth with them. But my point was, never once did it cross my mind to report them to Twitter. Never once did I try to get their accounts canceled. Never once did I try to file a, quote, harassment complaint. Okay? Because that would make me a hypocrite. If I don't allow them to speak their minds, I can't expect anyone else to allow me to speak my mind. Okay? That's why I say it's a freedom of expression issue, because I think it's a societal issue. It's not a legal issue. Freedom of speech is a legal issue. It's a constitutional issue. But as a society, we should derive from that and hold ourselves to the standard that we want to be citizens of a country where freedom of expression is prized. Not where it's monitored, not where it's looked down upon, that if you're not part of the majority groupthink, that you're somehow an asshole. Maybe you are an asshole. Maybe you're not. But the point is, as a society, you know, for all the leftists, all the liberals that keep preaching diversity, who keep preaching, you know, anti-bullying, take a look in the mirror, you fucks. Okay? How is everybody speaking the exact same language, having the exact same ideas, having the exact same opinions? How is that diverse? You mean you think it's diversity if a white man, black woman, Chinese, transgender, you know, if an Indian kid all have the exact same rote opinion, that's diversity to you? Just because they happen to be different skin colors, different ethnic backgrounds, you know, that you indoctrinate all of them into the same groupthink, that's diversity to you, you stupid fucks? That's not diversity. That's becoming a soulless lemming. It's becoming part of the Borg. It is quite possibly the most terrifying thought right now to me than just about anything else. That as a society, it seems that there's a large number of people in this country that think the ultimate state of humanity is for everyone to look the same, act the same, and say the same thing. And think the same thing. Okay? Nothing is more frightening to me. The lack of opinions, diverse opinions, the lack of diverse thought is the very essence of what separates us from the savages. And by savages, I mean just about anybody else in the world, okay? Take that as you will. The freedom of speech, the freedom of expression is a legacy that America bestows on its citizens. And I, for one, am not about to give it up without a fight. And there's a lot of people that are not going to give it up without a fight, okay? Like I said, my opinion may lead you to think that I'm an asshole. It may lead you to think that I'm out of my mind. That's fine. That is your right. Listen to what I have to say. If you like it, listen some more. Or maybe even repeat it. If you think I'm an idiot, you know, don't listen to the podcast. Turn the knob to the off position. Change the channel. That is how we should approach this. Not, wow, Bill Maher made a joke that really could offend someone who was a victim of domestic violence somewhere at some time. Hey, that's the price you pay in a free society. That's the price you pay for progress. Somebody's going to get offended along the way. You see how this ties back to my original rant? That there's an entitlement in this country, that everyone thinks they deserve a life of happiness and of easy coasting. See how it all ties back? We have become so entitled, we have become so so afraid of discomfort in this country that we can't even tolerate opposing points of view. That the mere mention of certain sounds, of certain utterances, will make people lose their mind. I've said this before. If I look at a woman and call her a cunt, it should not be reason for her to grab her chest and fall to the ground. Okay? Now, it may be reason for her companion to come beat the shit out of me, right? But the word itself can't hurt you. It only hurts you if you allow it to hurt you. That's true of any word. Okay? So the desire of all these various groups to control what you think and what you say is, to quote Judo Larry, it's the most un-American thing you can do. It's the most un-American situation you can think of. You know, progress in general throughout history has not been made by people thinking in the collective, by people all thinking the same. That's not how progress is made. You know who does that very well? The Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Armed Forces. They want people who just follow orders and everybody thinks the same, okay? And that is a specific purpose. You know what that purpose is? Aggression or defense against aggression, okay? But for the rest of society, who was it that came up with computers, who discovered DNA, who built the assembly line, who built and discovered how to fly mechanically, okay? These were not inventors who were part of a collective. These were not inventions that arose from an insistence that everyone think the same and act the same. No, these were rebels. These were visionaries. These were people who had the intestinal fortitude to not give a shit when somebody else was calling them nuts. To not give a shit that they may fail. And in fact, probably failed several times before they ended up succeeding. Okay? That, and it's going to sound hokey, but that's what made this nation what it was. It's what made this the envy of the rest of the world. The fact that we produced all these great visionaries and thinkers in such a short period of time when you compare, when you get a long view of the history of the world, okay? It didn't come from government. It didn't come from, a forced and boxed in thinking. It came, it came from visionaries. It came from people who were willing to buck the trend. I'm not even saying politically. I'm not saying they were all liberals or they were all conservatives or they were libertarians or they were this or communists or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you know, some people were motivated by greed. Some people were more altruistic. They wanted to save lives or ease suffering. That's fine. Whatever the motivation is, let people be themselves. Okay? And if you happen to get offended along the way, you know what? That's the price of freedom. That's one of the costs of freedom. That's the cost of doing business in order to it's the cost of the freedom business. Let's put it like that. It's the cost of the freedom business that you're going to get offended along the way. Okay? That you're going to be upset. That you may not succeed. There's no guarantees. Okay? You may not succeed. I hope you succeed, but you may not. But at least if you don't succeed, maybe you'll make life a little bit better that maybe your children will succeed, or maybe your friends will succeed, or just your fellow citizens might succeed. Okay? That's what we should be working towards. So Bill Maher, you know, I still think you're an asshole, but I'll defend your right and your desire to express yourself, to try to be funny and fail. Okay? That's all we can ask. The same way I would ask that if I try to be funny and fail, that I'd be allowed to do that. Okay? Wow. I just noticed something. I've been talking for almost an hour straight. Now, I've done that before, but usually I don't have to hear myself. You know, in the new studio and everything, I have to hear myself. And I just realized that after having listened to myself for almost an hour, that I must be driving you guys crazy. The very sound of my whiny, droning voice, which I think is pretty monotone. I've been told I have a monotone voice. Phil, what do you think? Yeah? Monotone? Thumbs up? Thumbs down? What do you think? Yeah. Well, that's why we usually have Judo Larry here, you know. So he can, you know, interject and keep me from putting people to sleep. All right? Okay. This has been The Riot. Follow us, please, on Twitter. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. You can follow us on Facebook. Become a fan of the show on Facebook. That would be Facebook.com/thatriotshow. You could also find us on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podomatic, Player FM, anywhere that you could think of that podcasts are found, you'll be able to find that Riot Show. Okay? So, until next week, when hopefully I can convince Judo Larry M to join me in the studio, keep me a little company, maybe even toss me little favors, if you know what I mean. Until next week, this is your host, Big Fat John. Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I'm not wearing any pants.